welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Sunday evening, or I think it's almost Monday morning for you, Mr. Bontemps. Apologies in advance. I'm a little under the weather, as you probably can hear. But, you know, listen, you got to play hurt. You got to play hurt in September. You got to play hurt in January. You got to play hurt in June. And that's what we do on this podcast. Joining us, he's still in Italy. I think he's in Milan, but I'm not exactly sure. Tim Bontemps.
I am in Milan. It's 12:38. I'll get a little bit of sleep tonight to pull a Brian Windhorst. And by the way, Tom Bielaszewski, friend of the pod, saw him today, coach of Varese, right outside of Milan, Serie A team from Western New York, like me, gave me some gear. So I'm wearing it for the pod. Loyal pod listener, wanted to shout him out. Very good guy. Known Brian a long time.
Yeah, I've known him since he was basically an intern with the Cleveland Cavs in the 2000s. Also went to the Lakers, the Kings, with the Jazz. Coach in Australia. He's coached in Italy. Now the head coach in Varese.
Or Luis Scola, who owns the team. Longtime NBA player.
Just saw Luis Scola last week in Manila. And if it's possible, Luis Scola looks better now than he did 12, 15 years ago.
Well, and I will tell you, Tom was telling me that this week they were playing 3-on-3 after practice, and Luis jumped in after coming back from the Philippines and was schooling people in practice. And he was just like, I can't believe this guy's doing this at 45. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he looks like he's chiseled. He's a rock. He looks spectacular. Anyway, joining us from Dallas, Texas, doing this pod during the Cowboys game is Bam McMahon.
Howdy, partners. Happy to report that my fantasy football interests are doing much better this week than a week before. Also, just want to get out there, anybody who wants to send me free gear, my DMs on the platform formerly known as Twitter are open. I'll be happy to provide my address if there's some free stuff coming my way.
You're saying this space here is available for not even for sale, for free, this space here.
Yeah, for free gear, 100%.
Bontemps, we talk about the NBA, but you, I believe, on Saturday went to the Milano Derby, or the Milano Derby, I should say. Inter Milan versus AC Milan. How was that experience?
Unbelievable. It was the coolest sporting event I've ever been to. I've been fortunate to be at a lot of cool events. I mean, the atmosphere at a game like this is truly second to none. And I was there with my wife, Kelly, who was very impressed by the ultras for both teams. For fans that don't know, or people that don't know, there's these absolute insane fans behind both goals for each team at every game. And the AC Milan fans are at one end and the Inter Milan fans are at the other end. And they have these banners they unveil during the game, and they're chanting the whole game and banging drums and lighting off flares. And didn't matter that AC was down 5-1 at the end of the game. They were still just as loud as they were at the beginning. And it was a very cool thing to see all the way around. There's not really anything like it in American sports. So it was very cool.
Yeah, I saw my first Premier League game about 6 years ago, and it was a 2-2 tie. I don't want to say something that offends people from London, in a non premium venue, Crystal Palace, which is what the team in Ted Lasso is basically based on. It's basically supposed to be Crystal Palace. They're filmed,
also owned by the owners of the Sixers, I believe, we're going to talk about in a little while.
Yes, some would say owners of the Commanders, but
That's true. But we talk about the NBA here on this podcast, so we talk about the
that's
Sixers.
Absolutely right. That's eventually. Absolutely correct. Eventually is right. Anyway, it was an amazing experience in a 2-2 tie. And so if you ever get a chance, I would go to a European proper football, as they would say, match if you get a chance. But proper basketball still play in the United States, regardless of what people will tell you elsewhere. And yeah, NBA media days are 2 hours. They're longer than two hours.
Two hours from now would be something.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from Monday for most of them. The teams that are going overseas, I believe, get to start a week from this upcoming Friday. I think this year that's just the Timberwolves and Mavericks. Are you going to Mavericks Day early there, McMahon?
I will be at the Mavericks, and then after that, I will scoot on over to Memphis to check in on the Jawless Grizzlies.
Yes. Well, and that's what we're going to talk about. So Media day is a time when, in theory, and I really believe in practice, all players and coaches, and in some cases, executives, although sometimes the executives have the press conferences ahead of media day.
Well, every team except for the Knicks has their executives available. The New York Knicks
I don't think Pat Riley talks preseason. I think he talks postseason, but maybe he talks preseason too. I think he does.
He talks anyway, during the year. The Knicks execs do not.
Yeah, that's true. Adam Silver, by the way, was asked about Leon Rose's lack of having press conferences. And basically, Adam said, well, I would prefer, you know, we at the NBA prefer it to deal directly and transparently with the media, but the teams can do what they want.
In other words, I don't care, is what he said.
That's true. Leon was in Manila. I saw him there. There was three Knicks playing in that USA-Canada game, Josh Hart, RJ Barrett, and Jalen Brunson, and Leon made the trip over there.
His godson, nothing... Jalen Brunson.
True.
That's correct. Yes. Rick Brunson was also there. I don't think he had nothing to say on the record. Let's leave it at that. All right. So media day happens. A lot of the questions that you want to get asked to develop over the summer can get asked in this time frame, and there's not always a lot of great answers, but what I thought we would do today is some of the biggest questions that people are going to have to answer at media day. And we'll just go around and say which ones we think. And Bontemps, since you're still in Italy, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to start with the team I will be with on media day. McMahon said he will be with Dallas and Memphis on Friday and Monday. I will be where else? In Philadelphia with the 76ers, where there will be all sorts of questions to Nick Nurse, to Joel Embiid, to maybe James Harden. We'll see if James Harden shows up, to everybody else. Let's just go down the line. There's about 100 questions asked to James Harden if he does show up. Why did you opt into your contract? Where is your stance on playing for the Sixers right now? Are you going to be around the entire season, do you think? Why are you here if you're actually answering questions? Why are you not at home? You know, Nick Nurse, you know, he gave a press conference obviously in the summer, but how is he going to navigate the situation with James Harden? What is his stance on that? Joel Embiid talked this summer about, you know, his future potential being open. How does he feel about the way this summer went for the 76ers? Tyrese Maxey didn't get extended. How does he feel about that? I mean, you can go down the line. There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about in Philadelphia, which is just fitting because for basically a decade straight, they've been the drama capital of the NBA. And outside of maybe in Portland, and I guess now with what's going on in Milwaukee, maybe in Milwaukee, there's not going to be a more awkward place to be than in Camden, New Jersey on Monday, the 2nd of October, listening to whatever it is everybody has to say about everything that's going on there.
Yeah, and I think the most fascinating person to hear from there is going to be Joel Embiid, because like there are certainly a lot of questions that need to be asked of James Harden, his answers, and we'll see. But we know what he wants, right? We know where his mindset generally is, and that's get me the hell out of Philly. I don't want to be here yes. anymore. Daryl Morey's a liar. I mean, he said all that. Like, maybe he tones it down a little bit, but we know he wants out. And we know that Daryl Morey basically says, hey, if a deal makes sense, I'll do it, but I'm not just giving him away because that's what he wants. So what we, you know, Embiid, I would say for the first time has dropped or planted seeds of the possibility of Philadelphia not being his long-term future. And it's been messy since then. Nothing really has changed since he kind of threw that out there. So what kind of tone he wants to set at the start of training camp to me is going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, who knows, even if Harden comes, who knows if he'll seriously entertain questions. You know, I'd like to know why he opted in. I'd mm-hmm. like to know why he said Daryl Morey was a liar. I'm not sure he's going to give those answers, but more relevantly is how is he, if he does show up, is he willing to play at his current level for them?
Right. Is he going to give 100%? That's certainly a question worth asking. But look, the reason, to McMahon's point, the reason we have talked about this for months is not because of James Harden. Mm-hmm. It's because of what the impact of what James Harden is doing or how much he's caring or how it's doing with what it does to the 76ers. It's what it all means to Joel Embiid. That's why all of this matters. And that's why what Joel says is what's going to matter. How does Joel feel about the way the summer's gone? How does Joel feel about where James Harden is at? Does Joel believe James Harden is going to be committed to playing for the 76ers this year? What does he think of Nick Nurse? We haven't had a chance to talk to him about that. Like, there's a guy who's had a colorful history with, who he's gone back and forth with the media a couple different times in the past.
Will you play for Team USA next summer? He may be relieved to hear that question. He may be relieed to hear that.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, hey, be, well, yes. Let's go through the whole decision making process. France, USA. Let's weigh the pros and cons here.
I suspect there will be a L'Equipe reporter, the top French newspaper, at the press conference to ask Joël Embiid that question, because I've heard it be asked to him 3 or 4 times at least myself in person, and I would suspect that will happen again, if not then, soon after.
Well, and I think just generally, like, the temperature needs to be taken with Embiid. Hey, what needs to happen for you to feel like you can be fully committed to Philadelphia for the long haul here?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what potentially, you know, what potentially could be the timeline of, you know, you perhaps trying to explore other options?
I doubt he'll get into all that, but I think what he can make clear is what are the potential consequences of this season not being successful.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's kind of what Giannis is basically implying.
We'll get to that. And there are a few people better at navigating a press conference than Joel Embiid. When he wants to make a point, he knows exactly how to do it, and he knows how to do it in a way where he could say what he wants without actually saying it. And if he wants to do that, he'll do it.
And the Harden, they pulled Harden off the market 5 weeks ago, and nothing's changed since then. So Embiid has had plenty of time to think about why he'd answer these questions. By the way, the Sixers are having training camp in Fort Collins, Colorado, Bontemps.
That's correct. Nice. It's going to be a long flight and a long drive after a flight.
Hey, just understand this. When you're talking to grown folks in Fort Collins, Colorado, take your hat off, take your shades off.
I'm going to drive into Fort Collins with my sunglasses on, with my hat on top of it.
Bontemps is coming in with a little bit of swag.
I don't know Fort Collins. I've only been there one time for an hour or two. Is there a 5-star hotel in Fort Collins that the NBA players will enjoy?
I'm going to guess there's not, unless they're staying in Denver, which is quite a ways away from Fort Collins, which I don't know. I don't know if Joel Embiid and PJ Tucker and James Harden, everybody's aware of what's in Fort Collins, but it will be interesting to see.
Maybe there's a bunch of good campsites there. They might just, you know,
they can rent an RV.
Hey, nothing like a little kumbaya around the campfire. That's just what the Sixers need, baby.
Hey, listen, Nick Nurse, first decision is head coach. We're going to fly 4 hours to Denver. We're going to drive an hour up to Fort Collins. It's a bold choice. So see how it goes. Be an interesting week.
That's like all these NBA players who are excited. I know I keep bringing back to Team USA. I know. All these NBA players who are crawling over each other to commit to Team USA for next summer don't realize, I don't think, that the first 10 days of the Olympics for the basketball is in Lill.
How many of them do we think actually know that? Zero, one, any, five?
Is that
do any of these guys know it's not in Paris?
I believe it's pronounced Lull.
I think it's Leo, but I could be wrong.
I think it's pronounced Lull.
Well, you're the Anglophile, so you.
I just know that it's closer to Brussels than it is to Paris.
Anytime there's a question about foreign pronunciation, Vindy's the guy who I go to.
That's right.
That's right.
Does anybody in all seriousness, Brian, do any of these guys actually know it's not being played in Paris?
The best part, I don't know, but the best part of this story is that initially they're going to play the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals in the main arena in Paris, but the main arena is not available the first week because of gymnastics. But the best part of the story is they actually picked a venue in Paris to play the pool play games, and they announced it. And then the French players were like, we can't play there. Why not? Why can't you play at this venue in Paris? Because the ceiling is too low.
Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier basically give a press conference and be like, yeah, we can't play the games here. And then it got moved to Lille.
Yeah, the ceiling is too low.
It's amazing.
Are you worried about like bumping his head?
If somebody knows about the height of ceilings and their importance, I would guess Rudy would be a good source for that. Yeah. Very rarely do you hear about a basketball venue being plagued by low ceilings.
Low ceilings.
You hear LaGuardia being plagued by low ceilings, but not basketball. All right.
Nobody's going to understand that joke.
Again, this is week two now with my aviation humor.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. McMahon, who do you want to ask a question to on Media Day or want questions answered?
Well, certainly, I think that we can go from one superstar that the whole league is watching to another, and that's Giannis. So, you know, Milwaukee Bucks. And I mean, you talk about a guy who keeps on leaving, trying to leave breadcrumbs to, you know, for his potential exit from the organization.
Breadcrumbs, he's leaving loaves.
Exactly. It's intensified this summer, his recent podcast appearance, the New York Times interview, but this has like been going on for years, even this like the summer after the championship. And so, you know, obviously you want to ask about all of that, but one question I would ask for Giannis is, what do you need to see in terms of a commitment from the organization? And you know, where in your mind has that fallen short? I have no problem with Giannis or any other superstar evaluating the situation and saying, you know what, the realistic chance to contend for championships, that window is coming to a close here. Where else might it be open for me? That's fine. I'm just a little confused. He's like passive aggressively throwing, I'm not sure who under the, like, who are you calling out for not being as committed to winning as you are? They're spending, like, are you calling out teammates? Are you calling out the front office? The coach is different. So I would want to seek some clarification on exactly what his issue there is.
I guess we'll know the answer to whether or not he's signing an extension.
I think we know that answer.
Right. It's sort
I'd
of
say
self-evident.
We do. I'd say we do, too. I'd say we do, too.
Yeah. So we'll see what Giannis says. I'm sure it'll be thought out. I mean, as far as the Bucks situation, even though this is discomforting for them, I don't think that it's something that they didn't see. I mean, I said this a few months ago on the podcast when Mark Lazary sold his shares in the team. Mm-hmm. He did it for a reason. He saw, number one, he had a great price. And number two, he saw this sort of storm on the horizon. Now, he, you know, could have not been the owner for them winning a championship last year. He sold them during the season. They may win the championship this year, but that storm has been on the horizon for a while. I actually, while I'm not sure the venue is ideal, which is in, you know, interviews that were the team wasn't aware of and stuff like that, I actually kind of applaud Giannis for his candor.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I would rather him be honest about the way he feels as opposed to showing up saying, I'm always going to be a Buck, or, you know, my future is in Milwaukee, when he obviously has reasonable, questionable doubts about his future.
Yeah. And again, I don't. Like, I have no issue with those doubts because, frankly, I think that there are reasonable doubts. I'm confused by the way that he keeps talking about, not even hinting, just flat out saying if the commitment's not the same from everybody, because I just don't know. I don't know who he's calling out. I don't see the issue being a lack of commitment.
Yeah, it's coded language, but maybe the code doesn't quite make sense to us. Is maybe
right. Well. I would say a couple things. I would say if you want to applaud Giannis for honesty, do it next summer when you have a year left on your deal and it's like time to put up or shut up in terms of whether you're going to extend. Going on this crusade in multiple media outlets now.
Well, but if this is how he feels, I'd rather know.
Well, okay, but they're not going to trade him this season no matter what anyway. So all you're doing is putting an inordinate amount of pressure that already exists on your team. You're only heaping more on it for this coming season, where you could, if you could go to the Bucks. That's right. With a rookie head coach, who, by the way, Giannis signed off on quite clearly. They clearly weren't hiring a coach Giannis didn't approve of. So that means he approved of Adrian Griffin being the coach, who, I mean, I like AG a lot. We've all been around him. Hopefully he does a great job, but certainly that's a guy Giannis signed off on hiring. They go out and they sign Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. They bring back this team. By the way, Giannis, I was at game 5 against the Heat in the first round when they blew a giant lead in the fourth quarter and lost. And Giannis sat up there at the press conference and gave a speech about how this wasn't a failure of a season. Now he's going around saying, well, everybody isn't having the same kind of commitment as me. Well, I don't know. Maybe that would seem to signal that he thinks last season was a failure, which obviously it was, to lose as a one seed in the first round instead of acting like it wasn't, you know. So look, to me, you're right. Giannis is more than free to say all these things. I just don't really see what good it's doing, because he's going to be on the Bucks this season. In theory, he wants to win a championship with the Bucks this season. None of this is helping the Bucks win a championship this season. All it's doing is putting this in this like last dance energy around the Bucks, which maybe they'll persevere through and win.
That's fine, but it's not helping them. He was going to have to say no to it. He's got to say no to the extension, and that would
But you could very easily.
That's very easy, saying, "Hey, you know, I mean, financially, it doesn't make sense for me right now to make that
exactly
sense to wait. It's just a business decision. Like, that's not an issue that
you could say that 100 ways without calling out the organization, which he's doing now repeatedly. Right. And again, he's allowed to do it. I just don't see what good it's doing.
But he's calling them out when they just paid good money to keep Chris Middleton. They just paid good money to keep Brooke Lopez. I don't know. Like, is this like going back to not paying to keep PJ Tucker a couple of years? Like, I, in terms of like a lack of commitment, I think that's a very muddy message.
I also like to ask him about his knee surgery, which there's been scant details on and didn't really become public until the Greek team kind of made it known. I'm not sure exactly how it came out, but I believe it came out via reports in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come from the Bucks, and then
eventually
the Bucks said, "Oh yeah, Giannis had surgery." Oh, okay. Well, you know how I feel. There's no such thing as minor knee surgery,
especially not for a guy who plays like Giannis plays.
Right. So I want to know how that's doing and where's his. You know, he didn't rule himself out of the Greek national team until relatively late in the process. So I don't know. Maybe he'll be ready to go, but. You know, you have some questions about that, too, when one of the faces of the league is coming off surgery. I'm obviously going to be interested in what happens at Portland Media Day. I know that everybody's going to be interested in what Dame has to say, although Dame has said quite a bit. I think what he's made clear is he wants to be traded and doesn't really care what the details are. And he wants to be traded to the Miami Heat, and there's no deal there. I mean, maybe there'll be a deal between now and then. I certainly don't sense any progression in that direction, but it's not impossible. But while there's going to be a lot of focus on Dame, the guy I'm interested in hearing from is Scoot Henderson. Now, I'm not saying that Scoot Henderson, and I don't really know him at all. I've never met him. Don't have a good feel for the type of personality he is. I've seen interviews with him. I've watched him play, but I don't really know. But if there's a guy who could force this quicker, it's not Dame. It could be Scoot. And I'm interested to hear what Scoot says about sharing the court with Dame potentially for a while, whether this distraction potential is affecting him at all, and just his general feelings about it. Now, typically a rookie would come in and say nothing but, you know, try to stay back and be seen and not heard. And maybe that's what he'll do. But, you know, this affects the start of his career. And I also want to hear from Chauncey. If Dame is a member of the Blazers and, you know, they have to operate like he's a member of the Blazers, is how's Chauncey Billups going to play the two of them? And I know that it, you know, is going to be temporary, but the way they handled those questions and the way they answer those questions is going to be, in my view, a tell on how far they're ready for this to go. Are they willing to let this go into the regular season? Are they willing to let this go to Christmas? Because under these new rules, I don't see how Dame cannot play. unless he doesn't report. And if he doesn't report, he's getting fined. And I don't see Dame getting fined.
And by the way, I did check on one thing with these new rules, and I can't say this with 100% certainty, but my understanding is if, say, a team plays a back-to-back and they decide to, quote-unquote, not rest a guy by playing him for 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes or something, my strong belief is that the league will investigate that and potentially punish teams for doing that. So I don't think that, because I have a couple of people have asked me, I was obviously over here, so I was not at the press conference to ask about it. But a couple people have asked me, like, well, what if a team just basically plays a guy a handful of minutes to sort of get around this rest rule? I don't think that's going to fly with the league. I think you need to play.
Yeah, there's pretty clear language on that. You know, the Scoot thing is interesting because, you know, obviously there is benefit to, hey, this is going to be this guy's franchise moving forward. That's the hope. That's the plan. Let's get the deal done with Dame, move on, put the ball in his hands, and everything's kind of built around him. But whether it's 10, 15, 20, 25 games with Dame, like, what's best in the long-term interest of the Blazers and Scoot Henderson is to get the best deal. Like, you're not going to take pennies on the dollar just to, so, you know, the first game of the season, the ball's in Scoot's hands without having to share it with Dame. I mean, you're trying to get all the picks and all the assets you can, because that's what's ultimately going to be in the best interest of Scoot Henderson's development and your ability to build around him. So, you know, I don't know that a guy who's fresh off the draft and has played for the G League Ignite, I don't necessarily know that he's going to have that big picture point of view, but that is the reality.
Okay, well, let's get his baseline answer then. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, sure. To your point earlier, Brian, about executives speaking, the person I want to hear from in Portland is not Dame. It's not Scoot. It's not Chauncey. It's Joe Cronin. I was at Joe Cronin's press conference in Las Vegas when he talked about this stuff.
Yeah,
I think you were there too, McMahon, if I remember correctly. I would like to hear from Joe Cronin 2 months later. Where does this stand? Have you made any progress on a deal? Do you see a deal happening anytime soon? Like, I don't care about what anybody else says at this point. This is on Joe Cronin's plate, and it's going to be Joe Cronin who decides how long this is going to go. Is Dame going to be on the team until May? Is he going to be on until February? Is he going to be on until November? Like, he's the only one who can answer that. So I want to hear from him and see if anything has changed from when he talked in Las Vegas and was pretty open about where things were at.
Yeah, when he talked in Vegas, he was very open about it. And basically, not quoting directly, but the two major points that he delivered there was, this thing would move a lot faster if the market was more than one team, you know, and then it very well could take months. It's been months, but, you know, does the start of camp, does the regular season being around the corner, you know, does that provide a different sort of urgency? We'll be interested to hear what he has to say about that.
I just think that what the Blazers want, if they're dealing with one team, if it is Miami or nothing, they want what the Nets got from the Suns, which is the Suns literally scrounging.
Well, they're just not getting that.
I understand that. And a year ago right now, the Nets weren't getting it from the Suns, whatever initial talks that they had. But you know, the concept is that they want the Heat to literally scrounge into every nook and cranny and produce everything they possibly can.
Yeah.
And the Heat don't feel need to do that. And they haven't since June. And the one thing that we saw was a change in ownership of the Suns, and that basically changed the direction of their offer.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll be seeing a change in ownership of the Miami Heat.
Well, and the other difference too is the Nets were actively incentivized to not trade Kevin Durant for a variety of reasons. You're right to a point, Tim, where they don't, like, obviously you don't want to give them up for 2 cents on the dollar just to turn the team over to Scoot Henderson. I do think it'd be pretty damaging to the start of Scoot Henderson's career if he's playing off the ball and sort of having the ball a few minutes a game and not really much else, playing next to Dame, who's still one of the best point guards in the league and is going to have the ball all the time.
Why is Dame going to have the ball all the time? Dame's not the future there.
Well,
we're trying to get things done.
You guys are underscoring exactly why I want to hear from these guys.
Well, yes. Media Day. Yes. Well, I just look, to me, as my thought from this for months now has been, look, I understand that Portland looks at what the Rudy Gobert trade was, looks at what the Donovan Mitchell trade was, looks at the Kevin Durant trade and says, hey, Damian Lillard is one of the best players in this league. We should get that kind of return. At the end of the day, that package is not going to materialize for Damian Lillard for a variety of reasons. So they can go into the season with this complete circus that's going to ensue, even though Dame is a pro and I'm sure he's going to show up and it's not going to be a James Harden type deal. But this is going to be a mess that they're going to have to navigate through. They have their point guard of the future. They should get the best deal they can get and move forward with what they have, which is a really good foundation to build on. But instead, I just think this is going to be a complete circus if he's there, even if Dame does show up and act like a pro, which I think he's going to. So that all of this underscores why they are obviously going to be one of the most interesting team to watch over the next several weeks to see if anything does change, or if we're sitting here at the beginning of November and we're talking about watching Scoot and Dame try to make this, you know, two-headed point guard monster work. And by the way, you've still got Anthony Simons, who they gave $100 million to, who's 24, who is a, you know, a guy who's trying to prove himself in the league still and needs the ball and is not going to have the ball. And they have Shaedon Sharpe, who's another young guy who they want to invest in time and development in, who's going to need the ball to have the ball in his hands sometimes. Like, there's just a lot going on there.
There's, you know, there's some belief that, you know, Yusef Nurkic could get moved at some point as well. You know, I don't know. Well, I mean, it may depend on what they get in a Lillard trade, but yeah. You know, he's a guy who was sort of part of the last team setup. So yeah,
he definitely doesn't fit the timeline.
Neither does Jeremy Grant, frankly.
I hear that.
They just signed. Maybe they turn him around too in a few months.
He might be the only guy with a big, giant, smiling face at media day because everything's great for him. Congrats on that contract.
No kidding.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
Okay, Bontemps, back to you.
I want to hear what's said in San Francisco at the Chase Center by the Golden State Warriors. I want to hear what Steve Kerr has to say. I want to hear what Chris Paul has to say. I want to hear what Steph Curry has to say, because to me, there's only one answer for how the Golden State Warriors season should go, which would be Chris Paul should come off the bench and he should give them the plan B they've never had during the Steve Kerr era, where whenever Steph has left the court, including, by the way, when Kevin Durant was on the team, they've never been able to function as an offense. They've always looked disjointed. They've always looked messed up because, at least relative to how they normally are messed up, I should be clear, because the way they play with Steph is such a singular system that you can't really replicate. Whereas Chris Paul, as McMahon knows from covering him, as we all know from watching him for forever now, he's a walking offense by himself. Mm-hmm. And they, as both Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr talked about after this trade, hey, we've never been able to have a successful offense when Steph's off the court. Now we have Chris Paul. He's going to do that. So have him play 20 minutes a game, save his body for the playoffs, have him come off the bench. Well, you know, Chris got asked about it, was like, what do you mean, like, come off the bench? You know, Steve is...
Are you the coach? Started, you coach the team?
Right, exactly. Steve Kerr has, you know, artfully dodged questions about whether he's going to start or not. And by the way, the Warriors had a starting five last year that was, when healthy, by far the best five-man unit in the NBA.
Yeah, but what did that starting five do the year before that?
It was pretty good.
They won a championship.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Certainly, so maybe to break that up to protect a Hall of Fame ego.
Yes. So I would love to hear what everybody involved with the Warriors has to say about. And look, maybe Chris will come in and you know, stand up there and say, "Hey, I've thought about it. I'm ready to come off the bench. It's all kumbaya here. Everything's going to be great. But I am very anxious to hear what everybody has to say there, because if they do try to jam him into the starting lineup somehow, I don't think that makes any sense, other than, as McMahon correctly pointed out, just to massage our former podcast guest's ego and have him continue his consecutive start streak, I think, of every single game of his career, as we've talked about.
I'm certainly curious to hear what Draymond Green has to say, because that's the guy you're most likely to get the most honest answer from.
Well, he just gave an interview to Ohm where he, you know, said he used to hate him on a scale of 1 to 10 and an 11, and now they're best buds.
Oh, but listen, but Draymond, I don't doubt
that he's gotten his head wrapped around, hey, CP3 can come in and really help his team. He's going to be a teammate, like all the, you know, all the hard feelings from competing against him. Like, I'm not concerned about hard feelings from competing in the past. My concern is if CP3's thing is, I'm a starter, I'm only a starter, I'm too much of a legend to come off the bench, break up that starting five that's been so successful and figure it out. Listen, if that's the case, Draymond's got every right to say, bull crap, like this, what gives you the right?
You've never played a game
in a Golden State uniform. We've won championships around here. Honestly, it is on Chris Paul to fit in with the Warriors. I don't understand why the Warriors need to move everything around to fit him in.
Well, they traded for him.
He's not perennial All-NBA Chris Paul anymore. He's still a very good player. But it's time for him to transition into being a complimentary player. Bust out the CP Sixth Man of the Year campaign. Raymond Ritter, listen, I know you've won a bunch of the Warriors PR staff. You guys win that award every year. I'm handing it to you on a silver platter. CP Sixth Man of the Year, baby. Start the campaign right now.
Well, and by the way, if you're the Warriors, this is a pretty easy argument to make to Chris Paul, which is, hey, look, man, we saved you from purgatory.
Yeah.
Like, you got dumped by the Phoenix Suns to the Washington Wizards, a team that's trying to lose, or if not trying to lose, they're not trying to win. They're clearly starting a rebuilding process. They had nothing going on there. Chris Paul, at his age 38, 39 season, was not going to want to spend a year with a team that's not actively trying to win a title. And the Warriors went and traded Jordan Poole, traded a first round pick, and brought Chris Paul to their team to, again, as we all know, he has a chance to walk in and actively fix a problem they've had the entire time they've been one of the dominant teams of the league. Like, it's not like there's not a role for him. He could play a super important role for this team, but it's like, hey man, come in and fill this role. And by the way, also as an older player, let's manage your minutes.
Yes.
Let's have you ready for the playoffs. Let's keep you healthy. Like, this makes sense on every level other than, is his ego and his status in the league going to accept the fact that he's now going to be a secondary player? That's the only question here. It's not fit. It's not all the rest of it makes all the sense in the world. So again, I'm very curious to see what everybody has to say on that front.
Secondarily, Klay Thompson potentially commenting on an extension, and potentially Steve Kerr commenting on an extension too. I tried to talk to him about it on the record during the Team USA stuff. He didn't really sort of punted, but we'll see what Klay has to say.
And one point on that real quick. At the 2018-19 Media Day, third year Kevin Durant was there. I was there for it. It was before I came over here. Steve got up there and essentially said, this is our last dance, and pretty much told the world, Kevin Durant's not going to resign here. We're going to have fun this year, and we'll see what happens next summer. But we're not worrying about Kevin's future. We're not worrying about any of this stuff. We're just going to play. And, you know, it's one of the things that I always think about going into media day, because like the reason we're thinking about all this stuff now is like a lot of the times the tenor of the season can't come out of what is said at these media day press conferences, because these guys have had weeks to think about what they're going to say. They know the questions are going to get asked, and these guys are not dumb. They've sat in front of microphones plenty of times. They want to make a certain point a certain way. They can go up there and say it. So to your point about Klay or Steve or this Chris Paul starting thing or all the other stuff we've talked about, everybody, it's going to be very hard for somebody to say, oh, I didn't mean to say that at media day, because you're not going to be surprised by all these topics are not exactly surprising to anybody. So let's see how all these guys handle this stuff and what comes of it.
Well, and with Chris Paul, so far, last thing with Chris Paul so far, the whole thing has been like, I don't know, you know, we haven't talked about it. We'll talk about it. And don't be surprised if he keeps on trying to punt on meeting today.
Well, I agree. Chris Paul is an expert at pretending like he isn't one of the deepest thinkers in the NBA.
Chris Paul
is there a difference between starters and bench players? I don't know.
Don't start six players, start the game. You only start five.
No genius plays dumb as often as well as Chris Paul.
I just remember when I was covering David Blatt with the Cavs, which congratulations to David Blatt. Was part of the Canadian team that won bronze medal. He was trying to explain why Dion Waiters had been taken out of the starting lineup. And I remember him saying, oh, he's not a bench player. He's a second starter. And I was like, listen, man, whatever you got to say to Dion to get him through the day, whatever you got to say to CP to get him through the day, he's a second starter.
Yeah.
Who you got, big man?
Let's go down the West Coast. Let's go down to LA, not the Lakers, although there are some interest there, but the intrigue is certainly going to be, what is it? The streetlights, not the spotlights. I'm more interested in what's going on with those streetlights, because guess what? There ain't any extensions being given out to streetlights. All right? I mean, Kawhi, Paul George, Ty Lue. It seems as if the message from Steve Ballmer is, man, I've paid a whole lot of money and don't have a damn trophy to show for it, or really haven't gotten that close to a trophy. So it's time to prove it before I pay any more, before I commit to paying any more. That's going to be fascinating. Obviously, you've got a whole bunch of the old triple P, the player participation. What's it? Is it player participation? The old triple P is going to be a big subject of discussion. But as far as big picture goes, I am much more interested to hear what little I assume Kawhi will have to say. You know, he is a man who can say a lot without using very many words. You know, Paul George as well, and then Ty Lue, because that does have a feel of something that, hey, is this going to be kind of the last? It was a massive swing, and you know, is it kind of, you foul off a few pitches and you've still got two strikes? This is your last, you know, you're fighting to stay in the batter's box type of deal.
Well, we just saw Steve Ballmer did Paul George's podcast, so it can't be too bad of feelings of wherever that is. So my guess is that it'll be settled in one way or another. Like, they'll either have decided they're extending or they've decided they're not extending. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's sort of, the implication is already sort of there, but you know, negotiations are negotiations. We talked about it a lot with Ohm and Bobby Marks a couple of days ago, but obviously this Clippers season, there's an incredible amount of chips in the center of the table. Yeah. And I understand, you know, and I know that Steve Ballmer has said this, you know, that he doesn't want to start a rebuilding project going into his new arena. I get that. That is not what you're looking for. You know, I don't care how much money you have. You don't want to do that. But that doesn't mean that they want to continue a deal that might not be working. So,
you know, the only thing worse than starting a rebuilding project going into the new arena is paying a massive luxury tax for a team that's an easy out in the first round. I mean, let's be honest, that ain't selling tickets either. So, you know, and the flip side of all that is, guess what? If Kawhi is healthy, if Paul George is healthy, like, this team still does have the talent and potential to be extremely dangerous. It just hasn't come together yet for that group.
Well, look, we saw them beat the Suns in game one. Brian was at the game, right? They, with no Paul George, Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the court. They won the game. We were like, man, maybe the Clippers are going to win this series. Maybe Paul George can come back in the second round. Like, you know, who knows? Like, maybe they could get things together. And then Kawhi Leonard is hurt. He's not able to play. Everything goes sideways. Season's over.
That's another question to ask about. I mean, not that I think Kawhi will give much of an answer, but you know, he had knee surgery.
Yeah.
You know. They. I remember Lawrence. I can't remember exactly what Lawrence's comment. Lawrence Frank, their team president, was like, "Oh, it was just a very, very routine, common, itsy bitsy, teeny little weenie surgery. No big deal." Oh, really? Okay.
Well, listen, and Well, and those guys chose to go to the Clippers. Do they want to extend? If they want to extend, okay, Clippers, your star players want to extend. Why haven't you extended them? Right? Like, again, this is sort of like the Giannis situation. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and there's a lot of pressure on this season. And it's very in, you know, Philly's obviously for a variety of reasons in a similar boat. And maybe those teams will win and it will all be great. And, you know, all of them could, in theory, all of them are good enough to win a championship if things break right. And next summer, we're talking about them winning the title and everything's great and it's all gone well. Or they could all lose in the first or second round of the playoffs. And then you're talking about, well, you know, are Paul George and Kawhi Leonard trying to change these as free agents? Is Joel getting traded? Is Giannis getting traded? You know, and you could have this whole a whole chaotic summer ahead.
And look, you can't ask Clippers, or you can ask, but Clippers executives can't talk about James Harden. But you can certainly ask Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, hey, how aggressive do you think this franchise should be in pursuing a trade for James Harden? That might be an interesting answer as well.
Chris Paul would be.
I mean, Paul George has not been afraid to comment on stuff like that before.
Exactly.
So, speaking of LA, it'll also be interesting to hear what LeBron. Well, first off, Russell Westbrook last year, his press conference to start the season was as relevant as anything was happening in the NBA. This year, he'll be an also ran, but who knows what he might say. For the Lakers, real quick, before I pick my next team, obviously it's going to be fascinating to hear LeBron talk about his summer. And I don't know how much he's going to be willing to talk about it, but what he went through with Bronny on a personal level, I'm just interested to hear what he says. You know, he was in this last week, he was in Rochester, Minnesota, and he had this cool thing where he surprised a high school. I don't know how much of a surprise it was. I think maybe word that LeBron was in the building might've spread a little bit, but he was been practicing at this high school and he kind of spoke to them as a sort of a thank you. I don't know for 1000% sure, but LeBron being in Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic, you can draw your own lines there. So probably something important was happening with Bronny this last week. So we'll see what he's going to say, but just as a parent, you can only imagine what that was. I just remember the moment. I can remember the place where I was in Italy when I got that text message and was just stunned. I couldn't even believe what I was reading. So yeah. I'm interested to see how much he's willing to talk about that.
Because well, and let's be honest too. Like that's obviously become a big part of LeBron's story, right? Like we've spent several years now talking about the idea of LeBron playing with him in the NBA. And obviously it's way more important that he's healthy. I'm not trying to minimize that, but it is like, this has been, you know, he was going to, you know, he's at USC. We'll see. Hopefully he's able to play this year. We don't really know where things stand with that, but like this year was supposed to be about Bronny being in college. Jonathan Givony had him ranked as high as 10th in the draft, in his mock draft. Like that was what the story was going to be. Where could Bronny wind up next year? Where could LeBron end up as a result of that? Now all of that is obviously a much different story.
Right. So hope Bronny's doing well. The team I want to hear from, this won't make SportsCenter probably, but I'd like to hear what the Toronto Raptors are saying. When I talk to league executives in the league, you know, I definitely think that there's some teams are already storing up nuts for potential Giannis and Embiid availabilities. You know, I think
as well as another superstar potentially, but yes.
Well, I think Giannis and Embiid are more on the certainly Giannis and Embiid sort of, you know, you're just watching them.
Yeah, the front burners.
But other than that conversation, the conversation I have a lot in the NBA from executives, what do you think the Raptors are doing?
Yeah.
And I don't have a good answer.
And how long have you been having those conversations, right? It's like been kind of one of the main stories of the last couple deadlines, the summers. And
been a while.
The answer over and over again has kind of been nothing.
Yeah, you know, I think I said this on the pod, but I had a team showed me, they did a list of the number of transactions that each team has done in the last 3 years. And the Raptors were just last. Which again, my retort was, well, the Spurs were last from about 2003 to 2008, but you know they won a bunch of championships in there, and the
Spurs didn't have their best players walk out the door.
Right. Yeah, and you know, Bontemps has talked about that many, many times. It's not that they've not done anything. You know, they obviously choose to be kind of patient instead of panic, but like there's been time after time after time. You didn't do anything, and then you lose the guy anyways. Well, we just saw with Fred VanVleet. The year before, we saw with Kyle Lowry. You know, on down the list. You know, the Pascal Siakam is a guy who certainly is coveted around the league, but, you know, his hope very clearly is that he can earn his way onto one of these All-NBA teams. But then you get, you know, if that does happen, like, does it make sense for Toronto to, you know, more
sort of in the
guy?
They're sort of in the Kemba Walker situation.
Right.
Yeah. So this is, I had a bit of a discussion about this with Brandon Ingram. So Brandon Ingram has 2 years left on his contract, and I briefly discussed it with some Pelicans officials overseas who were there. He's not going to extend this summer. I didn't think it was worth putting up a four-alarm fire over. Yeah. But the reason he doesn't want to extend, he told me, is because, you know, there's a chance of him making a lot more money, which is he could make all NBA. And that's the same situation that Pascal Siakam is in. And all I'd say about that is, if Siakam or Brandon Ingram makes all NBA this year, are we sure that those teams are offering them the Supermax? There was some question about whether the Celtics would. They did for Jaylen Brown. Is that going to be a no-brainer in other places?
But
I'm not sure. The Celtics
are a perennial contender.
Yeah, and I don't think there was much question about them actually offering the extension. I think it was just more.
I don't either, but there was some. I don't think there was much question in the organization.
Yes,
I do think there was question in the league.
Well, I did wonder if they'd go full Supermax, because like a guy can be Supermax eligible, and you can figure a number out that's more than the quote unquote max.
That's it's true.
A slice of Supermax. You know, that's what Utah did with.
With Rudy Gobert.
So I thought maybe something like that would make sense with Jaylen Brown. They ended up, he got the full Supermax. You know, kudos to him and his agent. But again, just like with a player like Siakam, I think he's a phenomenal player. Like, what? Why does it make sense for Toronto to make a more than max commitment to Pascal Siakam? And we'll see. Maybe Scottie Barnes has a, you know, breakout sort of a season, and you feel much differently about the direction of that franchise. But right now, they seem to be running pretty hard on the mediocrity treadmill.
I mean, it's very much like the Charlotte Hornets with Kemba Walker. I mean, it's a really similar deal in both those situations. I mean, you said it before. Boston has been in the conference finals or the finals basically every year for the past 7 or 8 years. It would have made no sense for them to not extend Jaylen Brown, even if you do think you're overpaying slightly. For Toronto and for New Orleans, teams that are flirting with making the playoffs, it's a much different calculus. Right. To pay somebody like that when,
well, I think in the case of Toronto, two consecutive years they've had core players leave when they didn't get an extension.
Yep.
So even though the outcome situation is different, in that so much he's not as much is interested in extending, because, and the other thing I'll say about Siakam has made the All-NBA team. You're looking at, you know, Jamal Murray is in this boat. Jamal Murray could extend this summer. He may not extend because he's gunning for All-NBA, and he's certainly coming off momentum to do something like that. He's never made an All-NBA team. I don't think Brandon Ingram's made an All-NBA team.
I mean, as I've said on the pod before, Jamal's never made an All-Star team, let alone an All-NBA team.
But Pascal Siakam can look you with a straight face and say, I'm an All-NBA
player. No question. No question.
So, him taking that position is not unreasonable. The question is, how will the Raptors deal with that position based on the way they've dealt with their last two star players who've walked on them for very little?
And by the way, OG Anunoby, 1 year before he could be an unrestricted free agent, another guy that has a lot of interest around the league, and another guy that it's unclear what number would get him to stay in Toronto. And after losing Fred for nothing, with the way the talent is drained out of that organization, if both of those guys walk in a year for nothing, it's not great.
Right.
Let's put it
so that way. That's what I'd like to hear from Masai Ujiri or Bobby Webster or both. What they're looking at, because it's not that I necessarily think that the Raptors are in position to contend, but if those players are made available, you got some potential change of power, balance of power stuff.
If they put those two guys on the block and decide, hey, this is we're gonna blow this thing up, we're gonna rebuild around Scottie Barnes and young guys. I mean, they will get a haul of draft capital if those two guys.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, the problem is now they're down to 1 year left on their deals.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they're going to. That's the part where it gets tricky. Like, if they'd done it a year or two ago, yeah, they definitely would have. Now, I don't know.
That's a fair point. Have they already waited too long? But the only thing worse than waiting too long is waiting until the end. And once
in the case of Siakam, the reason this complicates it is that Siakam has indicated he won't extend with the team if he's traded.
All right, because it's in his best interest not to be traded.
That's right.
And we've just talked about
that's right. He could be being offered to be traded to plug into the 86 Celtics or the 88 Lakers. Take your 96 Bulls, whatever you want to say.
Right. Right.
It's more of a function of protecting his earnings than it is about where
he's
going.
Well, maybe his situation changes if they're struggling and it doesn't look like he's going to make All NBA in mid-January or something. And it's like, all right, well, let me get traded to a good team. And they have my bird rights or something.
True, but we've seen the Raptors basically not do anything mid-season.
I know.
You know, when you talk about a case of waiting too long, I think Ananobi very well could end up being something like that, because there was a lot of talk about Ananobi getting traded, but I don't believe there were a lot of real trade discussions involving him last year. I know, for example, that the Memphis Grizzlies had high interest. And I don't know exactly what they would have given up, but there were talks for Mikal Bridges, and they did put 4 first-round picks on the table there. I do know they were willing to put multiple. I'm not saying it was 4, but I know it was multiple first-round picks on the table in an Ananobi deal. Nothing, there's never any kind of real traction generated there. And then they've pivoted, and they gave up a couple picks and, you know, went and got Marcus Smart. And
Tyus Jones.
Yeah, Tyus Jones. And, you know, Dylan Brooks, his expiring contract likely would have been part of that. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, that's an example of, and who knows, like, maybe there could still be something that is put together, but that's an example of here was a potential trade partner that was willing to pay a premium, and the likelihood of you know, that being a potential trade partner again is certainly diminished significantly over the summer just because of the business that the Grizzlies did, and you know, the tradable contracts that are no longer there and the picks that are no longer in their possession.
Yeah, New Orleans will be another team that will have some interesting stuff on Media Day with what Zion might say about his health, about what he's hoping to accomplish, what David Griffin and Willie Green are going to say about what they're hoping to accomplish with him. Obviously, you know, Zion is in a pivotal moment as well. So, all right, well, those are some of the teams we're looking forward to. I can't wait till
I add 2 more real quick just before
very
we go?
Quickly. Yes.
I'd be very interested to hear what Tyler Herro has to say after his name has been thrown around all summer, and just generally what the Heat have to say after what's been an interesting summer tangentially involving them.
I know what the Heat are going to say. Eric Spoelstra, I can already hear. Well, We have enough.
I'm more interested in what Tyler Herro and Jimmy Butler have to say, I guess, to be clear. And Bam Adebayo, well, hey, Tyler Herro doesn't mind to talk.
Tyler Herro might say, I've had enough.
That's fair. And the other place where I think you might be, Brian, on Media Day, I'm fascinated by the Boston Celtics. We've talked about it a bunch. What are they going to do with their 3 centers, Chris Porzingis, Robert Williams, and Al Horford? Which of those guys are going to start?
They're going to stretch the floor and call them power forwards is what they're
going to do. Well, that's fine, but are they going to? Which 2 of them are they going to start? How are they going to play them together? What is that going to look like?
Is Porzingis practicing to start training camp?
Well, that's right. He's got his plantar fascia issue. Where does that stand at this point? Where is Malcolm Brogdon?
Malcolm Brogdon, first off, last we heard, Malcolm Brogdon was dealing with pretty significant elbow issue.
Yeah.
And was basically traded to the Clippers. That trade fell apart. What now, for sure?
Since we've talked a bunch about extensions, Derek White can be extended. He's now been made Boston's starting point guard. They're put a ton of eggs in the Derek White basket with the Marcus Smart trade, with the moves they've made. Where is he standing on an extension? They're going to get an extension done with him. And what is Joe Mazzulla's reaction to all this stuff? There's Celtics going to be one of the most fascinating teams in the league. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff to talk about.
When we call our NBA news desk at ESPN and say, hey, here's a story I have from Media Day when I'm in Boston, they're going to be like, get behind Bontemps, get behind Ulm, get behind, I think Mark Spears is going to Portland, get behind Spears.
Jamal Collier ought to be up in Milwaukee, shouldn't he?
Yeah,
Jamal Collier will be in Milwaukee.
Kendra will be in San Francisco.
Yeah, like, just get in line. Get in line. Well, I'll be like at LaGuardia circling out there waiting for my slot.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Mavericks are one of the two teams that will have theirs. Is that already next week?
Yeah.
No, a week from
11,
Friday.
11 days, I believe.
All right. My weeks don't start until Monday for the week after.
Next week. 11 days for me. It's Monday for me.
But we have not talked to Kyrie in quite some time. He did not do an exit interview with the media. He did with the organization, not with the media. He declined to talk to the media when he made his little appearance in Vegas, which was after he signed the deal. You know, it's always he's always an interesting fellow to chit chat with, and it's going to be very interesting to hear what he has to say about.
Kyrie was commenting to Stephen A. about First Take politics.
Listen, we've heard a lot of we've seen a lot of tweeting, and every once in a while he'll do all the social media stuff confuses me, but he'll do his. I guess is there some twitching and some IG living, and but he has not answered questions about the whole process that played out during free agency, and certainly how he feels about the immediate future, and you know why it made so much sense for him to leave as much flexibility in that contract, or to create as much flexibility with that contract.
Why don't you ask him about that back to back rule for him?
Ask him about the back-to-back rule. Ask him if the technology and those antas he thinks is really going to, help kind of keep that injury bug away. He does have a new shoe deal. I know he's going to be excited to talk about that. He's actually in China right now. There's a lot to talk to with Mr. Kyrie Irving.
All right. Well, we look forward to all of that. Bontemps, travel home safe. Talk to you when you get back stateside. McMahon. Yep. Here comes some gear. God knows what it'll be, but there's some gear coming your way, probably.
Flying those DMs, baby. I'm ready for it.
Thank you to Jackson, our producer, and we'll talk to you in a couple days.
Adios, amigos.